Welcome back to a special edition of This Green Earth, Sundance edition. I'm Chris Cherniak, Mel Larson, co-host of our typical show of This Green Earth every Tuesday, 9 a.m., but every Sundance we get the chance to do a little special broadcast from live from the Whole Foods Cafe down here at Kimball Junction on their 5% day. We thank them for that. And we get to speak to a lot of interesting people, including Trevor Gruff. He's the director of programming at Sundance. And Trevor, we want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us on, I'm sure, a very busy day for you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So Trevor, we think you have one of the most interesting jobs in the world. Tell us a little bit about how you got to this position and your background with film.
Yeah, well, I'll start off, director of programming means I'm in charge of the staff and the selection process for choosing all of the films that get into the festival. And it is a very lucky job to have. I never take it for granted. I lived in Salt Lake City when I was growing up, and that's when I first started going to the Sundance Film Festival when I was in high school. And I fell in love with the world and the films and knew that I wanted to work in and around these kind of films. So when I was in college at the University of Utah, I did an internship with the Sundance Institute, and I met the programming staff there from the festival, and we clicked. I think we had some good chemistry. I worked up at the labs that they do up at the Sundance Resort that Redford started originally, how Sundance originally got started. And then they hired me to start programming the short films and the midnight films. So many years ago.
Are those the low-hanging fruit?
Well, they're the crazy ones, And I always gravitated towards the those more bizarre stories. And it was great. It was a great entry position into the programming staff, which is something that I knew I wanted to do. And I've just sort of, that was in 1993. I started doing that, and then I just kind of rose up through the ranks there, and I became director of programming, I think, 5 years ago now.
Right, but again, it started as an internship. So many things. I just want to get involved. How do I do it?
I definitely said, I went into the office and said, what can I do? I'm willing to work for free. And I started hanging posters. I was out front, like, checking names off lists of the parties, standing out there in the cold, doing whatever it took.
And it was a great perseverance.
That's right.
And you still work for free.
Absolutely. No, that didn't change. We're a nonprofit. That's the deal.
So, among other things, you help select, you say select the films, but you also select a jurist.
Correct.
And I'm interested in that. How does that process unfold?
We have five competitions at the festival. Four feature competitions, one for U.S. Dramatic, U.S. Doc, one for World Dramatic, one for World Documentary. And also a shorts jury as well. And those are chosen, we just want a diverse range of opinions, on the juries. And, there's five people on the U.S. ones and three on the world and on the shorts. And within that, we put on directors, producers, animators, actors, and you just try to get a range, even critics. We have Leonard Maltin, who's, one of the most established critics. He's on our jury this year. So, and it's always fascinating. You never know. It's a subjective choice, which films win the award. And I think who's on the jury is going to have it would change depending on who the jury was each time. But I love that for that.
Does the jurist change each year?
Yes.
Rotate?
Yeah. We try not to repeat. I think we've only repeated two or three over the 20 years I've been doing
really?
This.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So how many films do the jurists watch every year, or do you watch every year?
Well, the juries watch 16 in the U.S. competitions and 12 in the world competitions and 60-something on the shorts. And they all watch them all up here at the festival with audiences. And I watch over the course of a year, about 1,000 films to get to the 120 that we have here at the festival. Yeah.
So that's the effort to whittle down the films that are submitted.
And submissions, I watch about 1,000, but we get submitted about 4,000 features in all of the different categories and about 8,000 short films.
So over 10,000 total, of which maybe 100, you said 120?
I think with shorts, it's about 180.
180, so one in 50.
Yeah.
Film, your chances are like one in 60.
Yeah, it's competitive,
That's grown over the years.
It grows nearly every year, and I think that just speaks to the vitality out there in the filmmaking community and how, the access to the tools to tell their stories, how available they are now with digital cameras and home editing software, and it's great. I think, you know, I think the more people out there are trying to tell their stories, I think the better the quality is.
How have you seen the festival change over the time that you've been the director of programming?
It's funny, you know, I'm sometimes the worst person to ask that question of, because I'm on the inside, and I've been a part of it for so long. It sort of has grown up sort of around me, because I know we still program the films the same way we always have. We showcase the kind of artists that we always have. And so for me, the heart of the festival has remained the exact same for over these 20 years I've been doing it. When I do take a step back and I look at it, you know, I think just the scale of it has grown. You know, we do have more and more people that do come every year, and I think the impact of the films out there in the world has shifted. You know, when I was first starting, I kind of had to explain what an independent film was, like out there in the, you know, walking on the streets, and when I tell people what my job was. And I think that has shifted. I think now just about everyone has a sense of what an independent film is, and I think that maybe is the biggest change.
How about the international entries? I mean,
yeah.
they must increase.
Yeah.
You know, in a fold every year.
Yeah, that's probably where the number, percentage-wise, where the biggest increase comes from is internationally, because Sundance has now become, that's another thing. I used to, when I would travel to different countries scouting for films, I would, explaining, you know, kind of what Sundance was all about, what we were doing. And again, like, I don't have to do that at all anymore. And there's a real, I think, hunger for filmmakers out there making the kind of films, the kind of truly independent films, even within their countries, that want to be associated with Sundance and know what Sundance can do for them is launching careers and getting their films seen by a wider audience. So, our World Dramatic Competition is where you can find actually really some of the most interesting films in the festival, because you get these exciting voices from regions that you might never seen before.
Right, right.
Well, we know this is going to be a tough question, but what are some of the films this year that have caught your attention or different or interesting?
You know, it's every year... I think we have some really great standouts in specific sections, but I think our depth of quality in all the sections is as high as it's ever been. But I think I will say, you know, there's one film that was our last film programmed. It's a film called Boyhood by Richard Linklater that he filmed over the course of 12 years with the same actors, and it creates one of the most unique viewing experiences I've ever had. It's a really special film. We're proud to have it in the festival, and then I also always steer people towards maybe some films that aren't as you know, they don't have the high profile actors or directors attached to them. So for me, I always look to the next category, which is something we started about 4 years ago, which is started out as sort of a showcase of, you know, cool low budget films, and it's taken on an identity of its own outside of budget. It's like really like these bold, distinct visions, and I really love these films. There's one I have to point out called Land Ho, about these retirees who go on this road trip through Iceland, and it is one of the was one of the most joyous moments of my programming process was watching this film, and I just fell in love with these guys. I love the film so much.
Well, I know we only got a couple of minutes, but I'm curious. Richard Linklater is a well-known director.
Yeah.
So how does someone like that produce an independent film?
Yeah.
What is the boundaries there?
Well, you know, we do have our different sections. We have our premieres category, which is where Boyhood is playing. And it's that's for the more established filmmakers. But even those films are independent. They're made outside of the studio system, which is how we sort of would classify an independent film. You know, it's not like made by Warner Brothers or 20th Century Fox or Universal. They are independent films. You know, Linklater... he's been an independent director. He has made a couple studio films, but I think his voice is always independent. One of the things I'm really excited about this year is our New Frontier section, which is our category that explores the cross-section between art, technology, and storytelling. And I think this year it is peaking. You know, it's always been sort of a forward-thinking section, and I think this year now the work has sort of caught up to the concepts, and I think some of the things on display this year are going to really dazzle people. We've got The Source, which is made by Doug Aiken, who's a real art star right now. He made this standalone structure that's going to be in Sweet Alley, just off Main Street, that you'll see it when you're there, and it's this immersive environment where you go in, and it's all of these different people from all different, like, artists, writers, architects, talking about the source of creativity. And then we have other installations down at the Gateway Center, and that's where our New Frontier base is going to be. That I think all of that's going to create a really great energy at the festival.
Fantastic. Well, Trevor Groff, the director of programming at Sundance, thanks so much for joining us. If people want to learn more about all those things, they can obviously go to the website.
Yeah, website, www.sundance.org.
All right, and when this these 2 weeks are done, you start in 2014.
Yeah, and then we start gearing up for Sundance London in April. So
it never stops.
No.
It's the sun never sets.
We'll keep dancing.
Sorry I had to say that. All right, Trevor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, let's take another quick break, just a couple underwriters, and when we come back, we'll talk to Jerem Rowland. He's the manager of the film music programming for Sundance. It's KPCW and This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
This is Eric Lee, attorney in the Park City office of Jones Waldo. As a Park City resident for 20 years, I'm proud to support KPCW. Jones Waldo provides legal services to residents of Summit County in many areas. 435-200-0085. JonesWaldo.com.
This is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local recycling and garbage services provider and a proud sponsor of KPCW. Summit County residents are recycling more and more, currently nearly 6 million pounds per year. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.